Most of us have dreamt of having incredible powers that would really make a difference in our lives and the lives of others. So if you could have any superpower, what would it be? Would you have the power to read minds? Would you have the power to run really fast? Would you have the power to heal? Would you have the power to use incredible strength? Would you have the power to fly? I won't ask you to demonstrate your flying pose. I can't really see you, and I'm sure you can save that for another time. Would you have the power to be invisible by chance? Well, we have been given incredible power, real power, to really make a difference. Using this power is as simple as practicing acts of kindness. However, any power requires understanding of what it is and how to properly use it. You do have the power available to you to accomplish incredible things and to make a difference in ways you might have never imagined through common everyday actions. But this power comes with a catch. You have to choose to use it. And it has to be developed, exercised, and trained. If we do not use the power we are given, we will lose it. It is a choice, but this choice has tremendous effects. So how do we choose to use the power that we have available to us to do incredible things? Well, simply put, we ask for it. We ask God to work in us and through us, and then we develop this power through our relationship with Him. Part of developing this power involves considering how to use it correctly, and then exercising it through making choices to use it. Please turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew 25. Matthew 25, and I'd like to read verses 34 through 40. Matthew 25, beginning in verse 34. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the king will answer and say to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." Now, if we were to read on, we would read about the unfortunate end of those who neglected to do these things. We can see from these verses that what we do to take care of others has tremendous importance. So much so that Jesus Christ says that as we treat his brethren, so we treat him. Okay, so how does all this fit with having incredible superpowers, and how can we make a practical application? When we apply the instruction God gives us in His Word for living and taking care of others, we are acting with tremendous superpower. The instruction He gives us can be found throughout the Bible, but is summed up by the keeping of the two great commandments: love God with all your heart, might, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. The power I am speaking of is love. With this power, we are able to relate to others so that we can reach out to them. The commandment for us is to love one another as Jesus Christ loved us. Turn with me, please, to John 13. I'll just pick this up quickly here. John chapter 13, and I just want verse 34. John chapter 13, verse 34. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." Well, how did Jesus Christ love us? He laid down his life for us, and that while we were still unattractive. Jesus Christ was God, and he came in the flesh to experience life as a man so that he could relate to us. He knows what it's like to be in every situation you or I could possibly be in. So great was the love of God that not only did his Son come to experience life as a man, but he gave his life so that you and I and every human being ever born could have life, eternal life. But did you ever consider that his death is meaningless without considering his conduct in life? Eternal life, which is knowing God involves living a specific way. That way is God's way, which is the way of give, the way of love. So how did Jesus express his love that we are to emulate? What was the example he set? Please turn with me to Matthew 11. The example he set is that he forgave sins, he fed the hungry, he gave drink to the thirsty, he healed the sick, the lame, the blind, he raised the dead and preached the good news of the kingdom of God to the poor, those who were downtrodden, discouraged, and defenseless, to give them hope and encouragement. Now in Matthew 11, I'll begin reading in verse 1. Now it came to pass when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples that he departed from there to teach and to preach in their cities. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" In verse 4, Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things which you see and hear. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." That's all we need there. How does he continue to show his love? Well, in being raised, he continues to forgive us and heal us. He feeds us when we are hungry, and he gives us drink when we are thirsty. He strengthens us when we are weary. He comforts and encourages us when we are sick, and he opens our eyes when we are blind. He visits us in our prisons and covers us with his righteousness. This is the example of what we are to do also to one another. And it comes down to the little things of how we treat others. That is the power of love. Let's break it down even further. We are given this power to love and relate to others. We need to understand how to use it. Okay, not very many people we are around are in real need of us feeding them or giving them a drink. Even fewer people we know are actually in prison or walking around naked. And how can we heal? When we forgive, we are extending healing power. There are all sorts of things that can offend and cause us to turn away from someone. Perhaps they really need a blessing of kindness in their life that looks past the ugliness of imperfect behavior. Through forgiving the rough edges in others, a remarkable form of healing takes place as love covers a multitude of sins. We can heal by forgiving and give God the job of smoothing the rough edges in others. Many times we see rough edges in some people's behavior that stem from a deep form of hunger and thirst to feel wanted, loved, and accepted. When we go out of our way to look for another to comfort and encourage them and include them, we are feeding them, giving them a drink, and taking them in. Whether a person is physically hungry, emotionally hungry, or even spiritually hungry, we have the power to feed them. We do this by talking with them, by listening to them, and showing that we are thinking of them and genuinely concerned for them. We can also share our own experiences. Perhaps someone is hungry for friendship. Perhaps someone thirsts for encouragement. We can give these and more. When a person is spiritually or emotionally sick, it may take a little more attention to care for them than if they were just physically sick. But in any case, it is important to do what we safely can to help them get better. The very first thing we can do and the best way to start is through prayer. We can go even further and fast for someone who's really struggling. Now, a person can be in prison in many different ways. They can actually be physically locked up, although this might be rare among those that we know. A person can also be imprisoned in a difficult situation that they cannot seem to get out of. Maybe there are problems they cannot see or solve. Well, we can't solve one another's problems, but we can help encourage them. The people, that is, not the problems. We can visit them by caring, by praying, and thinking about what we can do that might help their situation. Another example of someone who is in prison is someone who is physically handicapped. They may have a mind that functions the way a typical person's mind does, but their bodies cannot perform the same way. They may be confined to a wheelchair. They may be unable to speak intelligibly. They may be a little more difficult to understand. Well, at least on the surface anyway. God is pleased when we take the time to look out for those who are unable to look out for themselves. Not too many people now are walking around, actually walking around physically naked. At least not that I'm aware of anyway. But someone might be feeling quite vulnerable and awkward in a social setting. They may need a friend to help them get involved in conversations or activities. They may need encouragement to help them feel accepted, and it may take persistence. We can practice taking in someone who is a stranger by looking out for those who are by themselves and have nowhere to go. Perhaps this is the first time they're visiting your gathering. Perhaps they are with you every week, but are not always involved and need to be included. There should be no strangers in the body of Christ. Everyone should feel welcomed and loved. I asked you at the beginning about what superpowers you might like to have. Did you want to read minds? Use your imagination to picture how another may be thinking and feeling. Put yourself in their shoes. Observe whether they seem to need a friend or encouragement. Imagine what it must be like to have a sharp mind but not be able to run or walk or to play games. Or worse, to be commonly overlooked. Did you want to heal? Forgiving and taking the time to genuinely care for another promotes healing. Did you want to fly or run really fast? If you apply God's way of doing things, the way of love, you might need to be patient, but you will soar. Please turn with me to Isaiah 40. Even if you want to be invisible, we are instructed not to let our left hand know what the right hand is doing when we do a good deed. Here in Isaiah 40, I'll begin reading in verse 28. Isaiah 40 and verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. All the powers that I mentioned can be realized in type through obedience to God, and there is no power greater than His. He will be our protection and use us as He purposes to help restore His government on earth. We have an opportunity every day to practice these superpowers, to look out for others, and to set a good example of the way God instructs us to live. These powers must be developed through thought and sacrifice. So my challenge to you is to get out there, find someone who is hungry for friendship, someone who's thirsty for encouragement, someone who's feeling vulnerable and awkward, someone who's feeling imprisoned, someone you wouldn't ordinarily approach, and talk with them. Listen to them. Help them. Forgive their imperfections. Care for them. Show kindness to them. How we treat others with kindness or neglect, it is the same as treating Jesus Christ with that kindness or neglect. We do have the power to make a difference, and this power should not be underestimated. So let's all get out there to develop and use our superpowers.